WFAN, WFAN FM, WFAN FM HD1 New York, and Odyssey Sports Station.
Welcome back. It is the Boomer and Geo program, built for Tubbs Studio. Sal and Jerry in for the guys. We'll be back on Monday. Hope you guys are enjoying the long weekend. If you are off tomorrow and Friday, enjoy it. And everybody will be back on Monday. Actually, no, I won't be here on Monday. How about that? So we started a long time ago.
Why are you off Monday?
Baseball tournament this weekend.
Ooh. Yeah. Look at you. Where's that, local or not?
Virginia.
Oh, man. You're driving?
Yeah.
When are you heading down?
This weekend.
Virginia. Yeah, down. When are you heading down? This weekend?
Yeah, it's not too bad. Like 5 hours.
So you're working Friday.
I am.
And off tomorrow?
No, yes. Tomorrow
okay.
off.
Off tomorrow, working Friday, and then Saturday morning you head down.
We'll be there by then.
And you'll be back here Tuesday?
Wednesday. Mm. These tournaments are long these days.
Good for you.
Tournaments used to be, you know, you play a couple of games on Saturday and maybe one on Sunday, and if you win, you advance and keep playing a couple, and you end up in a championship game like late Sunday afternoon, Sunday evening. Apparently now you play on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and possibly Monday and or Tuesday. They've really become very long.
Man,
but they are fun.
I know you like it.
Well, you
guys both love it.
Well, he's just beginning. I'm at the end. I mean, this is year 15 for me.
So you're on your way out. You're going to retire as coach pretty soon?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of have already. I'm on the staff, but I don't really, I'm not the coach any longer.
Right.
So, but yeah, no, this is probably it for me. Maybe next summer, I'm not sure. We shall see, but high school. Like, once that starts.
Oh, man.
That's it. I know. So weird. Time goes quickly.
Yeah.
And time this morning has gone very quickly. Matter of fact, at 6 o'clock, we opened the show, which I was not intending to when I was driving in. I never thought that we were going to open with football. But watching Hard Knocks when I got in this morning, which premiered last night on HBO about the Giants, the offseason Giants, you know, there were a bunch of things we took from it. Number one, for me, I couldn't believe how much I enjoyed it. I didn't think I would. I thought it was going to be boring because there's really no football involved. It's really just front office management, evaluation. But some of the storylines were very interesting, and I think the inside look we got was pretty cool.
I loved it. I made a point last night, and I was tired, and knowing you're going to have to get up early and do the morning show. I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to get this. I made a point, though, to stay up and watch it, and I enjoyed it. I think it does give a good look into the inner workings of an organization. Now, the one thing is you have to remember the Giants are going to have final say here on what gets shown and what doesn't. But it was intriguing, you know, for stories for us that we follow in real time throughout the course of an offseason in this particular case, to see them now, you know, going back, how they play out behind the scenes in actuality with Joe Shane and his front office. There was a lot there. For me, the number one thing that I take away from it, though, is just their belief in Daniel Jones and how they believe, you know, this is going to be the year. This will be the year, Jer, finally, that they determine if Daniel Jones is the guy.
Actually, I think it's not the belief. I think it's the questioning of him.
Right.
Like, they could have very easily, the clip we played, and Brian, can you play it for me one more time? This is at the very end of the first episode of Hard Knocks. This, to me, shows me that while they may believe in his ability, they don't have belief. They're not sure if they've got a player that can keep himself on the field and if he's the guy. Go ahead, play it.
This is the year for Daniel. Plan all along was give him a couple years. Is he our guy for the next 10 years, or do we need to pivot and, you know, find somebody else?
I mean, right there. I mean, that's how it ends. Do we need to pivot or find somebody else? And so by this being the year, I don't think they mean, I don't think the way I took it was, they mean like, this is Daniel Jones's year. I think it's more like, no, this is his year to figure it out and stay healthy. Otherwise, like, we got to go get another quarterback.
Right. My question then would be, well, why'd you give him $40 million if you're still evaluating him?
Well, because
2 years later now.
We always talk about recency bias. Let's go back to why and when they gave him that contract. Mm-hmm. You were coming off a better season, and let's be honest, it's been a rough go for this franchise for a while now. You were coming off a better season. No, they weren't 12-4 or anything. They were, 9-8, I think, something like that, or 9-7. I forget if they played 16 or 17 games that year. But that playoff game in Minnesota, and then, yeah, I know they got the bleep kicked out of them in Philadelphia, but they won a playoff game.
That was a great season, yeah.
He was spectacular in that playoff game. And you're talking about a position that is hard to come by. They thought with that game and the fact that they had been an over 500 team that he answered all the... Because, again, if you go back to the beginning of that season, everyone was talking about, this is it, and we're moving on. Then he plays really well. They win a playoff game. And now you're thinking, all right, what do we do? It was almost as if now the money's one thing. Signing him's another. It made sense to sign him at the time because I don't know what the options were at that moment. They give him a lot of money. I'm with you. I don't think it needed to be $40 million because if they let him go check out free agency, who's right. signing him for $30 million a year? I don't know if anybody was. Maybe there would have been a team. Who knows? But there is an out. So, yes, they gave him $40 million a year. Last year was a train wreck. This year we shall see. If they have to move on, they can.
Yeah, I mean, I just feel like that everything the Giants are doing is because of evaluating Daniel Jones, who is going into year six as a starting quarterback. Like, how many years do we need to figure out what he is? And it was clear that Shane was saying basically with the Barkley stuff, which was the most interesting from episode one as far as, you know, where they value the running back, how they're going to make things fit. If it's not him, who are they going to get to replace him? He basically made it sound like, we're paying the quarterback $40 million. You can't justify paying the guy who's handing the ball off to, you know, $12, $13 million. And you'd rather invest that in the guys up front, protect Daniel Jones, get him some weapons, which obviously they've done. And spoiler, they drafted Neighbors. Like, we know that now. Obviously, in Hard Knocks, it's going to be played out here. But I don't understand that logic. I think that's going to be the biggest downfall of this regime. But they're probably, Jared, to your point, they're going to have more wiggle room, whereas a normal tandem, Shane and Dable, would be hired. By year three, it's like, okay, let's see what you got. With their rookie quarterback that they drafted in year one or year two, this team didn't do that. This regime didn't do that. It's still the same guy that was a carryover, and it's year now three of Dable and Shane.
And so what's interesting about that is, on one hand, I watched that episode last night, and I came away from it thinking the Giants' leadership is in a very good place right now, because I felt very comfortable and confident that these two know what they're doing, meaning Dable and Shane. It just seems like Shane's got complete control over what he's trying to do, what he wants to do. It seems like him and Dable, again, this is only, it's the first episode of the series, but I think I kind of felt like this anyway, and just watching it last night kind of drove home that point that these two were in lockstep together and they have a vision for this team. The question you would have, and I hate to bring it up, but I thought of it last hour and I knew we were going to talk about this again. You mentioned for most coaches, if you don't get it done in year three, sometimes we make moves. Let's say Daniel Jones isn't good. I don't know if he's going to be or not. Let's say he's not the kid from 2 years ago.
Yeah, I don't think they're
firing
Dable.
Maybe he has another. Okay, I'm not saying they are, but just hear me out. Let's say Daniel Jones has an off year. Their defense isn't as good as we think it's going to be, and they are mired in another one of these 6 or 7 win seasons. I'm not saying 2-15, but let's say they're an 8-9 team or a 7-10 type of team, right there in the middle of the pack, under 500, no playoffs, and Bill Belichick's hanging out there.
Yeah, I mean,
like,
that's
where, to me, it gets a little tricky.
I'd still be shocked if they did that. I can't imagine a way where the Giants. I get the history. I get the tie-in. Belichick would coach anywhere. I mean, he wanted to coach the Atlanta Falcons with no history. So, of course, he'd want to coach the Giants. So that's not the issue. The issue is, would the Giants blow this up with Shane and Dable? I think that would be. And
I don't think so. Having watched that episode and seeing the inner workings, I actually don't think so.
Well, I didn't think so before either. Plus, do the math. Like, the Giants have been known to be patient with their head coaches and general managers until the recent stretch where they really were left no choice. Mm-hmm. I didn't think they were going to fire Joe Judge when they did. So the fact that they did that, they realized they really did screw up. And now I feel like they feel like they've gotten it. And they're going to ride this out with Shane and Dable. And they'll ride it out through a quarterback change if need be. And in my opinion, when the time comes, it's going to happen. It's just a matter of when, moving on from Daniel Jones. That's the hard part that I have to grasp my head around, that it's Daniel Jones again for year six. The Barkley stuff was interesting. Seeing Mara in that light it was interesting. Seeing how many people are involved in these decisions was fun. It gets you in the mood for football. It always makes me want to be part of an organization. I love that idea of team building and showing up every day and trying to go to work on putting together the best team possible. You got a good look at their new defensive coordinator. So seeing him and what he wants, how's that not pump you up if you're a Giants?
No, I think it would. And I'm looking forward to, if it's the next episode or the one after, I don't know. We obviously saw the Saquon Barkley thing play itself out. He goes to Philadelphia. Well, in episode one, it's really just the evaluation period. And they're still trying to figure out, as they're looking at other running backs, if Barkley isn't back, where do they go? They end up with Singletary. Is that sound right?
Devin, I think
Singletary?
So, yeah.
They were looking at Zach Moss.
I forget, and I don't want to be spoiled here. I forget exactly what's going on with the Giants.
Very interesting, the way they're setting it up to where it's going to get to when Barkley does go to Philly, seeing the way they got the cameras all over the place. very interested to see what the reaction is when that news breaks.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they'll all see it on their phone,
it's
if not
be
a
great.
Phone call. Yes.
Yeah.
So I would think that might be the next episode. Maybe the one after that. I don't know. But better than I thought. And I'm certainly back in for episode two. The other couple of things, obviously the baseball. The local angle would be the Mets continue to win. The Yankees, a struggle last night against the Reds and a loss to the Reds. But for the Mets, this team continues to play at a really good clip. Stubbed their toe against the Astros, no doubt, by their own doing, quite frankly. But they've come right back, and you have to love the response in Washington.
Yeah, I mean, the Mets have been proven here to be a really good team. I mean, I don't know how else to say it, how many more compliments we could throw their way. Now, obviously, they have issues with the bullpen, but they started to do something about that. They needed to bring up a major league arm. They did with Buto. They bring him up from the minors, but he's got major league stuff. He's got the mentality to get guys out in the bullpen and help last night. But the offense share has been the key. It took him a little while to get going last night, but Lindor was clutch, and then the offense exploded yet again in the extra inning. So, been a little bit of everybody. Iglesias having a major impact. Nimmo off the bench when Bader goes down, a major impact. Even without J.D. Martinez, the Mets get the job done. Their offense is legit. It's why I believe that their run is legit and sustainable. They look like a different team. Having fun, scoring a ton of runs, and I like the way that they're built. Starting pitching, Manaea was good last night. They fixed the bullpen. They're going to be a team that's going to be in the postseason, and maybe a team, Jared, that could even do some damage in the postseason.
You never know. And the one thing from watching this team, too, now over the last few weeks with this crazy June they had, you never feel like they're out of a game.
Right.
I mean, the fact that they were down 4-0 on Saturday to the Astros, they come back, tie it at 4 was a game that was there for the taking. They wind up losing in extra innings. Okay, fine. Last night, 2-0 is not 4-0 or 7-0, but they're down 2-0. They really got nothing going offensively. And next thing you know, Lindor hits the home run, kind of wakes them up. And then when you got to extra innings, well, first of all, Nimmo ties it, and then Nimmo in extra innings. It's just all of a sudden, it seems like, they talk about hitting being contagious. Well, right now, it's working up and down the order. And you look at the schedule, Sal, you got after the Nationals, you got the Pirates, the Nationals, and the Rockies. I heard you and Brandon talking about this a couple of weeks ago. They have a real opportunity to go into the All-Star break. And I know you hate pausing the momentum, but they've got an opportunity to go into the All-Star break. Like, they could be 6 or 7 games over 500. That is not a crazy thought.
Which is just incredible. I mean, back to being a game over. Everybody, I think, the pessimistic Mets fans, they lost 2 in a row to the Astros. Here it goes the other way. I never felt like that. And a lot of people think that I'm pessimistic. I'm not. I'm realistic. And right now, the reality is this Mets offense is legitimate, and they're playing teams. You know, there was a while the Nationals, the Mets were looking up at the Nationals in the standings. Now they've kind of blown right by them with a 4-game lead over them. If I'm the Mets, I have my eyes set on the Braves. Go catch the Atlanta Braves. Chase them down. That's the top wild card spot. The Phillies are, they're 13 games behind the Phillies. It's not realistic to think the Mets can win the division. But what's been proven is you don't have to win the division. You can get in the postseason and still do damage. And I think everything should be outside of the division. Everything else is out in front of the Mets. And I really believe they are going to be a playoff team.
And on the Yankees quickly, just another night last night where Luis Gil, inconsistent. I think that's probably the best way to put it. I don't think he was awful last night. He had a couple of really good innings and a couple of really bad innings. And the Yankee offense, while you score 4 runs, all right, not terrible. It's not good enough. And they have played below average baseball now for a few weeks.
Yeah, the Yankees have been, they look like a bad team. I can't believe I said this. I said it earlier. In case you missed anything, check it out on the free Odyssey app. I think the Mets are a better team than the Yankees. Sounds ridiculous where you look at the records. I understand that. But how can you argue? The Yankees right now, the Mets are a deep line. The Yankees right now have 2 guys. And if an opponent pitches to Aaron Judge, they need the head examined. I just would never do it. But the Yankees, Jared, all you need to know, the New York Yankees at home down a run against the Cincinnati Reds in the 9th inning can't even muster a threat to be able to get Juan Soto or Aaron Judge up to the dish in that spot. They went pathetically weak in the 9th inning. And again, it was the entire game. Heel up and down. Rodon tonight, he's been awful as of late. The Yankees have issues, not just in the lineup with the lack of depth behind Soto and Judge or outside of Soto and Judge. They have some question marks in the starting rotation all of a sudden, and they have question marks in the bullpen. I mean, I'm pretty sure that those are all the areas of a team. So is there anything left with the Yankees? I mean,
they got question marks everywhere.
That's what I'm saying. It's they've gone from being one of the best teams to being a team with major question marks. Now they'll be in the postseason, and their worst is still a lot better than a lot of other people's best. But I don't know how you can watch this team right now and feel confident that they're going to be a team that can compete or win a World Series, which was the idea from the get-go, especially after trading for Soto.
I heard BT say yesterday he thought this was a huge start for Heel last night, and I think the results come back unanswered, quite frankly. Well, if you thought that about Heel last night, I don't know how you can't think about that for Carlos Rodon tonight, because he has not been good of late, and this is a guy making a lot of money. I really thought one good season, one bad. I thought this was going to be the good season. At times, he's looked good, but again, inconsistent, and of late, he has been not very good. They need him to go out there tonight and throw seven innings against this Reds team and give his offense a chance to go out and win a game 5-0.
The Boo Birds will be out tonight if he doesn't get it done. And that's going to go the wrong way with Rodon, who's been a guy who's obviously been shown to be fragile here.
A little ornery.
Yeah, ornery, fragile psyche, whatever it may be. Hey, we're not the problem. You are. You're getting paid a lot of money to do a job. Go out there and do it. He didn't do it at all last year. He did it at times to start the year. Now he's going the other way. I never trusted Rodon after last year. Even when he was at his best, I give him credit for doing a good job and turning it around, but I never believed that what he was doing was sustainable, and he has been downright awful as of late. Yeah, it is an important game, an important start for a team that hasn't won a series in almost a month now.
Correct. Think about that from where they were. And they're still 20 games over 500.
Yeah, I know.
Which is remarkable.
Oh, they were off to such a great start.
Exactly.
Back down to earth now.
When we come back, Chris Lopresti with everything from yesterday, and then we'll wrap things up with you guys on the...
I have a game that I want to play with you, too.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. You started these games. Well, I have something.
I know you have incorporated this into the BT and Sal show. Yeah. I love this.
Well, of course. I mean, I came up with some ideas. We have some fun throughout the course of the week.
Do this at 40?
One idea. Yeah, we'll do... Obviously, we get CeeLo coming
after
up.
CeeLo.
Yeah, after CeeLo.
What we call him.
But better broadcaster or player?
Okay. Or both?
Better broadcaster or player.
Oh, I see. Are they a better broadcaster or were they a better player?
Correct.
All right, so like Tim McCarver might be on that list.
That's exactly right. He could be. I have three names that are on this particular list. But yeah, I pitched this idea to BT. He didn't love it.
I like it.
Yeah, of course you do.
All right, that's coming up. That's coming up at 9:40. Does it involve a dead horse?
Does not involve a dead horse. Yeah.
When we come back, Chris Lopresti, and then better player or better broadcaster coming up later as well. It is Sal and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
It's the morning show with Boomer and Geo.
Hey, good Wednesday to you.
What is up?
Boomer and Geo. Off, Al. I said Al. Sal and Jerry. I'm so used to Al and Jerry. Sal and Jerry. Well, yeah. Well, you left me a year ago. Bill Ford, Tough Studio. Just kidding, of course. Not really, but kind of.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Hi.
What's going on? What are your plans this weekend?
I am working tomorrow morning with Richard Neer doing the updates. I'll be done at 11. And then we're hopping in the car out to Great Wolf Lodge in the Poconos.
With
a couple of other families. Do a little indoor-outdoor water park.
A little golf there, maybe?
No,
just be with the kids?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I'd love to play golf, but that ain't happening.
Oh, I thought maybe sneak out in the morning at like 6 a.m. or something.
No.
No. Okay.
So.
All right. Absolutely.
No. I did get Boomer. He did come through the clubs. He overnighted the clubs.
I'm not surprised.
The bike tour.
Yeah. So now you want to be on Team Lopresti?
Huh?
What?
Huh? What am I getting? Yeah, I was actually listening to that. I was like, oh, that's so cool. I couldn't believe that CeeLo was hesitant to take the clubs.
Well,
what's wrong with you?
What
are you talking about?
It.
Hesitant. I answered like,
no, you were like, you didn't know if you wanted his used clubs. I'm like, they're Boomer size and used clubs.
No. It wasn't about the clubs. It was making sure I didn't like irrationally just respond at the moment. I wanted to think over the bike side, bike tours. It's, bro, I got to start getting in shape here.
Yeah,
yeah.
I know, I get it.
I'm not going to half-ass this because the last thing I need is him, you know, mocking me on you didn't finish, you're not in shape, this, that, and the other thing.
Are you doing it, Jer?
No.
Oh, okay.
I did it this year, past year.
With who? What your own team?
I was on Team Zoo.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Oh, all right.
I might. You want to do it again, by the way?
I would do it with somebody. Like, if nobody's doing it, I'm not doing it by myself. I would do it.
You want to be on the team?
Yeah, sure.
Oh,
we should announce yourself.
We're talking Brian Rascone. Sometimes, because it drives me nuts when I'm listening as a listener and I just hear voices jump in and I'm like, well, who the hell is that?
Who is that?
Yeah.
No, that's Brian
Rascone committing again to the bike tour, possibly depending on the date.
Okay,
that's fair.
Now, the other thing, and this could be awkward, I'm going to say it on the air. Are you and Boyle good or do you guys get along?
Yeah.
No? Okay, because he's in.
Boyle's got his team. He's on your team.
No, he's on my team. I don't know.
Well, some people around here don't get along.
You know, they could have rivalries around here. I don't know.
I mean, I don't think I don't get along with anybody.
There's a lot of people I don't like around here. What are you kidding me? Starting with BT. I can't stand him. No, no, just kidding.
Just kidding,
joking, BT. Joking, Brandon.
No, he
all right, so there you go. Scones is in. So I got three out of my four.
Depending on the date.
Evan's a different right. story. I really right. can't stand him. Is he doing it?
Who?
Evan?
I doubt that.
Oh, okay. Well, what do you mean? Afternoon drive. Come on. Pick up some of the slack around here.
He's too busy following the Mets all over the country.
Okay.
Good for him.
Yeah, hey, good for you.
So now you got CeeLo,
Boyle,
Rascona, and you need how many more?
One.
Yeah.
And there's a minimum of money to be raised.
Is it the team four or five?
We had one, two, three, four, five.
Oh, so two spots left. All right. Yeah, I don't worry about them. I think we'll be fine fundraising. I'm not saying that in like a, hey, bragging sort of way. I think we could take care of that.
Yeah, I'm sure you will.
Now.
Hey, I never got asked.
Yeah, well, listen, if you want to do it.
I'll get Boomer, tell him to text you.
No.
You want to be on the team?
No. If Boomer came to me and was like, hey, you want to be a part of this thing and raise some money? I mean, that would probably be tough to turn down. And then, of course, I'd ask him, you know, what he's offering me. Like, he gave CeeLo the golf
club. Well, that's always where it comes in. Like, BT wanted the jet helmet. He roped him in. I forget what Zoo wanted. I asked, Gio was wearing a Boomer Esiason Foundation flag and halo, and I was like, how do I get one of those?
Hmm.
He's like, yeah, you want a shirt? I'll do you one better. I'll get you the hole, the golf bag, the clubs. He did swag bag. I got a pullover. Yeah. I got the polo. I got socks. I got two hats.
That's great.
Loaded up, so they did a tremendous job, and now I gotta hold up my end of the bargain.
And you will.
I love it.
Yeah.
I got nothing. I did it out of the goodness of my heart.
There you go, Scone. Like that's how it should be.
I'm sure we can get Scone something.
I'm sure you can.
He's
a pitching
man.
Wedge.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, you're
he doesn't
lefty,
need
though.
Golf clubs.
He's righty.
He's one of the best golfers
I know
at the
is.
Station.
I'm
here,
aware.
So, yeah. And by the way, so is his son, burgeoning star.
Nice.
Yes. Yeah, he won. Nice. What kind of? He won something recently, right?
He won. Well, he won his last tournament, U.S. Kids, and then he just qualified for the drive, chip, and putt.
Good for him.
So he's going to
that's awesome.
Round.
That's awesome.
All right, we are brought to you by the Farmer's Dog, fresh human grade dog food delivered right to your door. And we're going to go quickly on the local bit. We did a lot.
Yep.
But the Mets won. You got Christian Scott on the mound tonight, going for a series win over the Nats. Yankees lose. That's 12 out of 17 now, and they're going to send Carlos Rodon out there tonight against the Reds. Covered 6:25 here on the Fan and the Free Odyssey app. Couple of quick play-by-plays from around the league. You had a couple of walk-offs last night. One in Cleveland, Guardians over the White Sox. We know it's been an awful season for Chicago, but optics-wise, and I hope CBS Sports Network has it. If not, it's my bad.
Yeah.
I thought this was kind of another bad optic and a lost season for the White Sox.
3-2. In the air. Is it deep enough? Yes. Robert
watch this
makes the catch. Here comes Jimenez. No throw. Guardians win it.
So nah, game-winning sack fly, and I know the guy said, is it deep enough? Yes, but like...
Didn't even try.
Yeah, it's a medium fly ball, and he didn't even get behind it or attempt to
nice
make
effort.
It.
Come on.
How many wins do they have? Are they like
is it so
30
20?
And 50?
I have it here. 24
and 63. 24
and 63.
Yeah, not good.
Yeah, so who's got the worst record? Them or the A's? Probably them, right?
I'm not sure.
I think the
White
A's
Sox by seven games.
Seven.
A's are 31 and 56.
Wow.
24 wins. Oof.
Not what you want.
And 31 games out.
And you know who their post-game host is, right? On TV?
Oh, those have been great.
Ozzie Guillen.
Oh, yeah.
Were you here the day I played the one where they like walked the cactus out and he said it would be less painful to sit down on the cactus than to watch the White Sox?
It's amazing. That's tremendous.
Oh, man. All right, you also had a walk-off in L.A. Dodgers over the Diamondbacks 6-5. Teoscar Hernandez had the game-winning hit there. He drove in three on the night. He's been very good for them on that one-year contract, but earlier in the game, there was blast off from Ohtani.
Kicks and fires out of the stretch. Ohtani swings and pummels the ball deep to right field. Did you? Oh, no doubt about it. Halfway up the pavilion and right, and the Dodgers have taken the lead.
Now,
do you see, do they get tight enough on this?
Right. So there's a zoomed in slow-mo. You've got multiple adults reaching to catch this ball, one on each side, and then someone in the middle with like their palm basically extended.
Yeah.
Sal,
they
and
all it missed it.
Catches a kid right in the forehead.
Oh.
Yeah.
We going to see that here?
I don't know that they have it. Oh. I can just show it to you.
It's one specific replay.
Yeah. It's like slowed
did they
down.
Give the ball at least?
I don't know. I hope
probably
the kid's
not.
I hope the kid's okay. I'm not trying to make light of it. Like, I mean, that was a moonshot landing directly in the kid's forehead or on the kid's forehead.
Oh, man.
Yeah, rough.
Trying to see something.
I mean, it is, you know, you're out in the bleachers like that. You're not expecting to get.
We all can't be you with the home run derby.
Yeah, well, I only had to knock out a few kids to get that one.
Al was asking me last week, because I brought this up. That was, who hit the home run?
Bryce Harper. It was a home run derby at Citi Field.
Yes.
Bryce Harper smoked one right toward us. I've shown you the video before.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. And I just reached underneath the seat and found it.
Oh, you didn't catch it?
No, not on the floor.
Oh,
no,
I thought you caught it. Oh, that's not as impressive then. No. Chris is now showing Sal the video.
Oh, he took it right on that poor kid.
And again, like, you're out of the bleachers, but look at all the hands and the adults are there, and he gets it right.
But he was almost, you could make the case, he was shielded from it, and then it hit him. God. Like, he didn't see it coming.
Seriously.
Oh, man.
Yeah, you're not kidding. That ball traveled a long way.
Yes. I hope somebody gave him the ball, or if not, at least Ohtani and the Dodgers should take care of it.
I hope it's just okay.
Right. Let's hope he was in condition to be receptive of getting the ball.
Yeah, you know? I think he should be fine. I mean,
yeah.
I hope so.
I mean,
we've all taken a ball off the noggin.
Come here, I got a ball here. Let me hit you off the forehead.
We've all taken a ball off the noggin.
Yeah, I mean, it happens. Yeah.
430-foot home run from Ohtani, probably.
By the time it got there, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Wasn't the exit veal?
I'll tell you what. You want to be on the bike tour? That's what you got to do. We'll set you up. You take a Ohtani home run ball off the forehead. That can be your payout.
You got to do something for me to get me on the bike tour.
I understand. That
doesn't seem to be all that positive for him.
No, I know. I'm just having some fun with him. All right. We got the news this morning. LeBron is going back to the Lakers. That's not really a shock, but this 2-year max deal, $104 million. But apparently, I guess Wojnarowski's saying he's still discussing with the Lakers, maybe making it slightly less than the max so they don't have to go over the second apron or something like that. Who the hell knows with this NBA salary cap? But he is back with Lakers, and obviously son Bronny is aboard now as well. Some more from Joe Shane, this debut episode of Giants Hard Knocks, the off-season edition. A lot of Saquon Barkley talk, and Shane working through some of the scenarios with his personnel staff.
Saquon is a Hail Mary, and the drama and all that goes with it, we did that last year.
It's 10 years off my life. You don't want that. Emotionally was draining. We spent a lot of time on it. But again, I don't want that to be the reason that we don't do what's best for the franchise.
So obviously they let him walk. We know how it ended, but one member of his staff, I won't say pushed back, but kind of presented the alternative and followed up and said, all right, we take Saquon out of this offense. What do we have left? What's our identity? And this was the extended answer from Shane.
You got to upgrade the offensive line, and you're paying the guy $40 million. It's not to hand the ball off to a $12 million back. My plan is to address the offensive line at some point here in free agency. We're sitting at six. There's a chance there's an offensive weapon there. This is the year for Daniel. Plan all along was give him a couple years. Is he our guy for the next 10 years, or do we need to pivot and, you know, find somebody else?
The one thing I don't like.
Why is there music under all these cuts?
Because it was probably like part
that
of the intro. Or was that the end?
That was at the end. The one thing I don't like about all this stuff is the way the money, and I know it's the business. I understand it. I hate the fact, though, that you're building a team basically based on money.
Oh, that's what happens with
the
salary
cap. That comment right there, a $40 million quarterback handing the ball off to a $12 million running back. How about my quarterbacks handing the ball off to a damn good running back? But you can't keep him because of the money that's attached to it.
But
that's the game. I know that.
Yeah, it's a salary cap. You don't have to worry about that in baseball. But the other sports, I know.
I've never liked it. And I don't know that there's any work around it. It is what it is. And we've been dealing with it for 30 years now. It stinks. It just does. That decisions are made because it doesn't fit.
Yeah, I don't know if I guess I really never gave it much thought if I like it or would like it better without. Like, hey, if money's not an object, then Saquon Barkley would be here. But it poses a different challenge, right, as if building a team wasn't hard enough.
Right.
Now you have to build a team based on these contracts and salary cap. Yeah, I mean,
like the way they were mixing and matching players based on their value comparable to what they're going to earn. It's not that we don't like the player.
Right.
It's like,
yeah, why pay this guy $13 million?
I don't like the player at $6 million. Yeah. But boy, if we get him for $3 million, now he's a good player.
But that's not a good player.
I know. Same thing
with the NBA.
It's hard enough getting the proper collection of guys together to come together and be a team and to win. Now you have to do it with that added to it. And you've had to for three decades. I know. I don't like it.
Hartenstein at $9 million is different than at $30 million a year. Like, it just you know, and now obviously,
and yet
part
it would have
been
nice to keep them.
Yeah, I get it, but you know, part of the salary cap. Right?
Mm-hmm. One other clip here. This was an interesting exchange. I guess at the Senior Bowl, sort of planting the seeds for the Brian Burns trade.
Dan Morgan,
yeah, with Dan Morgan. Right. So I guess he and Shane are buddies. This was a longer
buddies.
Clip
they went on vacation together.
Okay, so this is a clip Marco had put in. It's a little longer, so I'm going to try and start it at the right spot here as they're kind of just going back and forth.
You can't afford it. You can't afford a top 10 pick.
I'm going to give us their COVID ones for friends.
Ooh.
That sounded an awful lot like the Panthers just let the Giants know
that pass rusher extraordinaire Brian Burns is available.
I love the noise being Shane. And, right, and then ooh, and then Liev Schreiber coming in with the explanation. Did he call them COVID ones?
That's what I... So it's funny. When I watched it, I thought he said, what do you think about two ones for Burns?
Right.
Right there, that sounded like a couple of COVID ones.
You want to get us COVID ones for Burns?
COVID ones?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know what that means.
I thought he... Are watching it live out in the newsroom with noise going on, yeah. I thought he said two ones.
I'm going to get us COVID ones.
I don't know.
Clearly, to there, in the headset, whatever sounds like COVID ones.
Joe Shane understood it.
You got to go back and watch it with the subtitles and maybe figure it out.
He said,
ooh.
That does sound good. All right. Speaking of trying to figure out what something is or what that sound is or what that noise is, what the hell is this?
I don't remember that.
You wouldn't remember it. That is the Turkish call from a big save in the Euro yesterday of their win over Austria.
Meri kafayı vurdu. Pras orta aman Mert. Ahtapot musun? Örümcek misin?
Very excited.
I thought you were still doing Hard Knocks.
As they did beat Austria. Yeah, that's funny. There you go. Also, one other thing before we get to moment of the day. Shannon and Ocho talking oral hygiene. I don't know if God knows why that came up. Well, we take it very seriously.
Listen, I smoke cigars so often and so frequently, but I'm already conscious of it. So when I smoke, I always have two peppermints in the corners of my mouth.
You ever been on the phone with somebody and you can smell their breath through the phone, Ocho? I brush my teeth twice before I even leave the house, and I leave the house by 6 o'clock. I was going through about a tube a week.
A tube a week?
I gotta be honest. Listening to that, now I watch it, so I know it's clearly not. When I listen to that, it sounds like a Saturday Night Live skit.
Oh, man.
When he comes popping in.
Yeah, he's got the two mints in his mouth on each corner of the cheek with the cigar. Makes me think of Ace Ventura putting all the gum in.
Yeah.
That's a lot of gum.
He better make sure he doesn't inhale one of those mints down his throat. Oh, my God.
I think he'd be all right. But they are fun. They are entertaining.
They are fun.
There you go. All right. Moment of the day brought to you by the family of Casamigos Tequilas, Añejo Blanco, Cristalino, Reposado, Mezcal, and the new Casamigos Jalapeno. Casamigos Tequila brought to you by those who drink it. Remind you to enjoy each moment of your day responsibly.
How about some moment of the day?
Yeah. So, look, all good for the Mets right now, right? A lot of good vibes. And they've got all these different celebrations going on. They're winning games. But Sal's got to draw the line somewhere. If you're not going to tell us what it is, I don't want any part
of
it.
That other celebration, you know which one I'm talking about?
Yeah, the slap or whatever.
What is that?
Doesn't matter. You know what? I don't care what it is.
Why won't they do it? Yeah, but why won't they? They're doing it in
public.
They
don't owe that to us.
It's
great. They're having a good time.
I want to know what it is. I'm curious.
Maybe they're smacking the fans in the ass. Does it matter?
I assume it's a negative. Like Fleek just said.
It doesn't have to be negative.
The last time we had one of these with the dumbs down.
Yeah, but that was obvious.
Well, I'm guessing this has a negative connotation.
Yeah, but if it does, that's a problem.
It's not a problem.
It's not a problem.
Because it's galvanized them and they are winning games, which is ultimately what you want.
If they're that dumb to come up with another celebration that would upset people because it's disrespectful, that's a problem.
You know what upsets people more?
Disrespectful.
Being 11 games under 500.
Yeah, and that's fine.
This team is fun to watch.
I mean, why are we assuming it's bad? I don't think it's a bad thing.
Well, so
what do you think it is?
I don't know. Some people called and said maybe it was wiping the slate clean.
I thought it was moving the page. That's what I thought it was.
Okay, me too. Everybody's like, smacking that ass. I'm like, what? They're not going to do that. So now I'm legit curious as to what that celebration is.
I don't want to
tell you. Every team does it, does some variation of it, and every team explains where's the origin of that. And yet the Mets don't want to say what it is. Why?
Who cares?
Just keep winning games.
Yeah.
No.
No, I must get an answer. I love that.
So it's
more of a spirited exchange and debate this morning rather than some hilarious moment. But you were all fired up. That was the first hour of the show right out of the gate.
I think it was.
It was. I went back and pulled it. Yeah.
Man, every time you watch a highlight, I mean, they're doing it. Yeah. You know,
Jerry, who cares?
Paint the fence.
No. They're winning games. No.
That's what the name of the game is, I thought.
Oh, man.
All right, Chris. Enjoy your 4th and enjoy the weekend. All right,
you guys as well.
We will see you next week. All right, when we come back, better broadcaster or better player?
You like that one, right?
I do. Yeah. That's not too bad. This time you're asking the question.
Yep.
I like that even better. We'll come right back on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer and Geo.
All right, we got 10 minutes to go. And coming up at 10 o'clock is Sal Licata.
Oh,
by the way.
Hey.
I'd like to catch him on the fan for another 4 hours.
My name.
That's your name. Now, I know you have taken some of the things we've done together in the morning.
Yes.
And you've incorporated them into your midday show.
Yes.
So it sounds like you'd like one right back here.
You always played games, so I was trying to come up with ideas for a game, so we came up with a few different things. A 3RQ is one of them that we do, whatever it may be. But I pitched an idea to BT and Hoff, as a matter of fact, and they did not like it, so I'm going to do it here with you. I still like it, and I'm still going to use it one day, just not currently.
Fair enough.
Better broadcaster or a player.
Okay.
Three names for you. You got to tell me if you think they're a better broadcaster or playing career.
Fair enough.
Number one, Phil Simms.
Oh, playing career.
Really?
I think so. Phil Simms to me, growing up as a Cowboy fan, I hated him because I thought he was remarkably good at what he did. His Super Bowl will go down in the history of all Super Bowls, and he should have had a second one. I know he got injured that year, and Jeff Hostetler was the quarterback in the second one, but in my mind, I view Phil Simms as a two-time winning Super Bowl quarterback. And I just thought he was, in a day and age where they didn't throw the ball 50 times a game and they didn't throw the ball 400 yards a game and they didn't have 50 touchdown passes unless you were Dan Marino, I thought he was great. I thought he was a good leader and he handled Bill Parcells the right way.
But he's been an established, long-time, successful
broadcaster.
It's
not a knock.
There's
no right answer to this. Yeah, if I say better broadcaster, what do you mean? He wasn't a good quarterback?
No, I'm not knocking. I'm just saying.
I think he was a better quarterback. He's a great broadcaster.
He's one of the few who... Like, both have been top-notch.
I loved him and Nance together. I thought him and Nance together were terrific.
I love Phil doing games, and I love his personality and all the shows
that
he's been on. I think he is a tremendous broadcaster.
I also think he was a great quarterback.
No, I'd probably go broadcaster, but only because I've seen more of him broadcast. But again, tough call.
I feel like I watched his entire career.
I was a little bit young to really appreciate it.
Yep.
I remember the Hostetler Super Bowl more so even than I do the
Super
Bowl.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I don't. I have that first one.
I mean, it was 1990. I was just coming into my, 10, 11 years old.
Oh, you're what, 45?
Yeah, I'll be 45 in September.
So we're not that far off in age. I guess that makes a big difference.
Next one, Charles Barkley. Great career.
Wow.
Hall of Fame.
What
legend.
A question.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Can you believe they didn't like this idea? Come on.
Because Hall of Famer on the court, never won a championship, but damn was he good. But he is really something as a broadcaster because he's fun. Ooh. Huh.
Round mound, a rebound, dominating. With the Suns, getting him to the finals in 93.
Right, I'm not even thinking about the 76ers. You got that of his career, too.
Legendary player, of course. A lot of the young fans don't realize how good he was.
All right, I'm going to say player, and here's why. While I think he's incredible as a broadcaster, I think he's incredible. Well, you can say this is basketball, too. But he's incredible as part of a broadcasting team. The chemistry between him and Shaq, Kenny Smith, Ernie Johnson is as good as any that there's out there right now.
But
that
he's
you
the
say
guy.
I mean, Shaq's got a pretty damn good presence on that show, too.
Yeah.
And you can say the same thing. I mean, he can't play alone. He was part of good teams. But when he played, he was the focus of his teams. Is that fair?
Barkley didn't win an MVP. I thought he did win an MVP.
I don't know.
He didn't
win a championship.
Yeah, he did. I'm sorry. That is correct.
I'm going to say player, but boy, oh boy. It's same thing as Simms. I don't think there's a wrong answer. I'll say player, and then as a broadcaster, just a touch below.
Yeah, I mean, he was obviously Hall of Fame, 11-time All-Star.
He was great.
MVP in 92-93, but he's a legend.
I know he is. I know.
What was your final answer?
I'm going to go player.
All right. I would go broadcaster as well.
Okay.
Great player, but I love him as a broadcaster.
All right, so we both disagree on both of them.
Last one. Boomer Esiason.
Oh, I thought you were going to go Troy Aikman.
No, I'm going Boomer Esiason.
That's another good one. Because Monday Night Football, I know only a year on TV, but like forever on Westwood One. He has done something here that I don't think people thought could be done. And not only has he done it, he's blown it out of the water.
He's got to be the most successful player-turned radio host. No, I know he's much more than just a radio host, but you get my point.
I'm going to say broadcaster.
Yeah.
I'm going to say broadcaster. And I know he won an MVP.
Yeah,
I know
he won an MVP.
Was in a Super Bowl, walked off the field with the lead. And shut up, Eddie. I know he got one more chance with like 4 seconds.
Yeah.
But he walked off that field with a lead. but I am going to say broadcaster, because when all is said and done, this is going to end up being a 2007. Yeah, he's going to be doing mornings in New York City post Imus for over 20 years. And think about Monday Night Football, CBS,
yeah,
the NFL Today. Yeah, broadcaster.
Yeah.
How about that?
I think I agree with that as well. Again, not knocking the playing career, but I think he's been a better broadcaster than he was a player. Has there been, I mean, there can't be, right? Because it would be happening in New York.
What's this?
In New York, an athlete, a former athlete that has been as successful as Boomer on radio. TV, yeah, like you could say Barkley. Like Boomer's up there in the...
But as a radio guy?
Well, I'm saying in general, right? But specifically radio. Like most of those guys...
No, you know why? Because this is still relatively new. I mean, if you think about when... So sports radio started for the most part.
So he was one of the first, you're saying?
Like 24-hour sports talk started with FAN in 87, although there were sports talk shows on different radio stations. But 87 is when it started, and it's exploded since then. I mean, really, if you think about former athletes going into the radio booth, we're still kind of... Now it's pretty prevalent. But I think... I don't think you've got a long history to look back, so I don't know. I think Boomer's the only one.
Yeah. I mean, again, we're talking about that's specifically like radio. Long. Yeah, well, right. Tiki is involved. You got, you know, DiPietro, Bart Scott. These are all the guys who have done radio. But Boomer is
20 years
on the number one show for
however in the morning.
That's
getting up at 4:45 every day.
Right. Like, other players have won MVPs. Not a...
Yeah,
no other players have done what he's done.
Broadcast career for Boomer.
There's a lot more that we could... There's a lot more questions.
Well, I really thought you were going to ask me about Aikman.
Yeah, he's
a Cowboy fan. Because that's another one where the guy won three Super Bowls, and yet, I mean, what he's done on Fox and now at ESPN is pretty
maybe
remarkable
Trump's
for a long time.
Right.
I don't think it does because he's got three Super Bowl. Maybe if he didn't have three Super Bowl rings, maybe. So I would say football player.
Strahan.
But he's a good one, too.
I mean, you don't have to answer it because you don't want to give them all away, because I am going to use the segment at some point, I think.
Oh, fine.
I like it. But you know what I'm saying? Like, there are...
There's
Tim McCarver. You mentioned him before.
Tim McCarver.
Joe Morgan.
I didn't see Tim McCarver play. Yeah. Phil Rizzuto.
There you go.
That's a good one, too. I like it. Next time we're together, we do it again, since those guys don't want to
do it. All right, this is our little thing.
Fine by me.
Ralph Kiner, good one.
Yeah, that's a very good one.
Endless,
Kiner's Corner.
I thought it was a good idea.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer and Geo.
We got 10 minutes to go, and coming up at 10 o'clock is Sal Licata.
Oh,
by the way.
Hey!
I'd like to catch him on the fan for another 4 hours.
My name!
That's your name. Now, I know you have taken some of the things we've done together in the morning,
yes,
and you've incorporated them into your midday show.
Yes.
So it sounds like you'd like to incorporate one right back here.
You always played games, so I was trying to come up with ideas for a game, so we came up with a few different things. A 3RQ is one of them that we do, whatever it may be. But I pitched an idea to BT and Hoff, as a matter of fact, and they did not like it.
Okay.
So I'm going to do it here with you. I still like it, and I'm still going to use it one day. Just not currently.
Fair enough.
Better broadcaster or a player.
Okay.
Three names for you. You got to tell me if you think they're a better broadcaster or playing career.
Fair enough.
Number one, Phil Simms.
Oh, playing career.
Really?
I think so. Phil Simms, to me, I was growing up as a Cowboy fan, I hated him because I thought he was remarkably good at what he did. His Super Bowl will go down in the history of all Super Bowls, and he should have had a second one. I know he got injured that year, and Jeff Hostetler was the quarterback in the second one. But in my mind, I view Phil Simms as a two-time winning Super Bowl quarterback. And I just thought he was, in a day and age where they didn't throw the ball 50 times a game and they didn't throw the ball 400 yards a game and they didn't have 50 touchdown passes unless you were Dan Marino, I thought he was great. I thought he was a good leader and he handled Bill Parcells the right way. And
But he's been an established, long-time, successful
broadcaster.
It's
not a knock.
I'm saying.
There's no right answer to this. Yeah, if I say better broadcaster, what do you mean? He wasn't a good quarterback?
No, I'm not knocking. I'm just saying.
I think he was a better quarterback. He's a great broadcaster.
He's one of the few who... Like, both have been top-notch.
I loved him and Nance together. I thought him and Nance together were terrific.
I love Phil doing games, and I love his personality and all the shows
that
he's been on. I think he is a tremendous broadcaster.
I also think he was a great quarterback.
No, I probably go broadcaster, but only because I've seen more of him
broadcast. But again, tough call.
Like, I feel like I watched his entire career.
I was a little bit young to really appreciate it. Yeah. I remember the Hostetler Super Bowl more so even than I do the
Super Bowl.
Yeah.
See, I don't. I have that first one.
I mean, it was 1990. I was just coming into my, you know, 10, 11 years old.
Oh, you're what, 45?
Yeah, I'll be 45 in September.
So we're not that far off in age. No, but I guess that makes a big difference.
All right, next one, Charles Barkley. Great career,
wow.
Hall of Fame,
what
legend.
A question. That's a good one.
Can you believe they didn't like this idea? Come on.
Because Hall of Famer on the court, never won a championship, but damn was he good. But he is really something as a broadcaster because he's fun. Ooh. Huh.
Round mound, a rebound, dominating. With the Suns, getting him to the finals in 93.
Right, I'm not even thinking about the 76ers. You got that part of his career, too.
Legendary player, of course. A lot of the young fans don't realize how good he was.
All right, I'm going to say player, and here's why. While I think he's incredible as a broadcaster, I think he's incredible. Well, you can say this is basketball, too. But he's incredible as part of a broadcasting team. The chemistry between him and Shaq, Kenny Smith, Ernie Johnson is as good as any that there's out there right now.
But
that
he's
you could
the
say
guy.
Yeah, I mean, Shaq's got a pretty damn good presence on that show, too.
Yeah.
And you can say the same thing. I mean, he can't play alone. He was part of good teams. But when he played, he was the focus of his teams. Is that fair?
Barkley didn't win an MVP. I thought he did win an MVP.
I don't know.
He didn't
win a championship.
Yeah, he did. I'm sorry. That is correct.
I'm going to say player, but boy, oh boy. It's same thing as Sims. I don't think there's a wrong answer. I'll say player, and then as a broadcaster, just a touch below.
Yeah, I mean, he was obviously Hall of Fame, 11-time All-Star.
He was great.
MVP in 92-93, but he's a legend.
I know he is. I know.
What was your final answer?
I'm going to go player.
All right. I would go broadcaster as well.
Okay.
Great player, but I love him as a broadcaster.
All right, so we both disagree on both of them.
Last one. Boomer Esiason.
Oh, I thought you were going to go Troy Aikman.
No, I'm going Boomer Esiason.
That's another good one. Because Monday Night Football, I know only a year on TV, but like forever on Westwood One. He has done something here that I don't think people thought could be done. And not only has he done it, he's blown it out of the water.
He's got to be the most successful player-turned radio host. No, I know he's much more than just a radio host, but you get my point.
I'm going to say broadcaster.
Yeah.
I'm going to say broadcaster. And I know he won an MVP.
Yeah,
I know
he won an MVP.
Was in a Super Bowl, walked off the field with the lead. And shut up, Eddie. I know he got one more chance with like 4 seconds.
Yeah.
But he walked off that field with a lead. But I am going to say broadcaster because when all is said and done, this is going to end up being a 2007. Yeah, he's going to be doing mornings in New York City post-Imus for over 20 years. And think about Monday Night Football, CBS, the NFL Today. Yeah, broadcaster.
Yeah.
How about that?
I think I agree with that as well. Again, not knocking the playing career, but I think he's been a better broadcaster than he was a player. Has there been, I mean, there can't be, right? Because it would be happening in New York.
What's this?
In New York, an athlete, a former athlete that has been as successful as Boomer on radio. TV, like you could say Barkley. Like Boomer's up there in the...
But as a radio guy?
Well, I'm saying in general, right? But specifically radio. Like most of those guys...
No, you know why? Because this is still relatively new. I mean, if you think about when sports radio started for the most part.
So he was one of the first, you're saying?
Like 24-hour sports talk started with FAN in 87, although there were sports talk shows on different radio stations. But 87 is when it started, and it's exploded since then. I mean, really, if you think about former athletes going into the radio booth, we're still kind of, now it's pretty prevalent. But I don't think you've got a long history to look back, so I don't know. I think Boomer's the only one.
Yeah. I mean, again, we're talking about specifically radio. Yeah, well, right. Tiki is involved. You got, DiPietro, Bart Scott. These are all the guys who have done radio. But Boomer is
20 years.
On the number one show
in the morning. That's getting up at 4:45 every day.
Right. Like other players have won MVPs. No other players have done what he's done.
Broadcast career for Boomer.
There's a lot more that we could. There's a lot more questions.
Well, I really thought you were going to ask me about Aikman.
Yeah, he's
a Cowboy fan. Because that's another one where the guy won 3 Super Bowls and yet. I mean, what he's done on Fox and now at ESPN is pretty
maybe
remarkable
Trump's
for a long time.
Right.
I don't think it does because he's got three Super Bowl. Maybe if he didn't have three Super Bowl rings, maybe. So I would say football player.
Strahan.
But he's a good one, too.
I mean, you don't have to answer it because we don't want to give them all away, because I am going to use the segment at some point, I think.
Oh, fine.
I like it. But you know what I'm saying? Like, there are... Tim McCarver, you mentioned him before.
Tim McCarver.
Joe
I didn't
Morgan,
see Tim McCarver play.
Yeah.
Phil Rizzuto.
There you go.
That's a good one, too. I like it. Next time we're together, we do it again, since those guys don't want to do
this
it.
All right, this is our little thing.
Fine by me.
Ralph Kiner, good one.
That's a very good one.
Endless, yeah.
Kiner's Corner.
I thought it was a good idea.